The following is a review of the financial reporting and analysis principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by CFA Institute. This topic is also covered in non-current or long-term liabilities. We will begin by introducing some bond terminology. A bond is a contractual promise between a borrower or bond issuer and a lender or bond holder that obligates the bond issuer to make payments to the bond holder over the term of the bond. Two types of payments are involved: periodic interest payments and repayment of principal at maturity. The face value, also known as the maturity value or par value, is the amount of principal that will be paid to the bondholder at maturity. The face value is used to calculate the coupon payments. The coupon rate is the interest rate stated in the bond that is used to calculate the coupon payments. The coupon payments are the periodic interest payments to the bondholders and are calculated by multiplying the face value by the coupon rate. The market rate of interest is the rate of return required by bondholders and depends on the bond's risks, as well as the overall structure of interest rates. Do not confuse the market rate of interest with the coupon rate. The coupon rate is typically fixed for the term of the bond. The market rate of interest on a firm's bonds, however, will likely change over the bond's life, which changes the bond's market value as well. The balance sheet liability of a bond is equal to the present value of the remaining cash flows discounted at the market rate of interest at issuance. At maturity, the liability will equal the face value of the bond. The balance sheet liability is also known as the book value or carrying value of the bond liability. The interest expense reported in the income statement is calculated by multiplying the book value of the bond liability at the beginning of the period by the market rate of interest on the bond when it was issued. At the date of issuance, the market rate of interest may be equal to, less than, or greater than the coupon rate. When the market rate equals the coupon rate, the bond is a par bond. When the market rate is greater than the coupon rate, the bond is a discount bond, priced below par. When the market rate is less than the coupon rate, the bond is a premium bond, priced above par. The first LOS for this topic review asks us to determine the initial recognition, initial measurement, and subsequent measurement of bonds. When a bond is issued at par, the bond's yield at issuance is equal to the coupon rate. In this case, the present value of the coupon payments plus the present value of the face amount is equal to the par value. The effects on the financial statements are straightforward. On the balance sheet, assets and liabilities increase by the bond proceeds, which equal the bond's face value. The book value of the bond liability will not change over the term of the bond. On the income statement, interest expense for the period is equal to the coupon payment because the yield at issuance and the coupon rate are the same. On the cash flow statement, the issue proceeds are reported as a cash inflow from financing activities, and the coupon payments are reported as cash outflows from operating activities under U.S. GAAP. Under IFRS, they may be reported as operating or financing cash outflows. At maturity, repayment of the face value is reported as a cash outflow from financing activities. When the bond's yield at issuance is not equal to the coupon rate, the proceeds received, which equal the present value of the coupon payments plus the present value of the face amount, are not equal to par value. In this case, the bond is issued at a premium or a discount. The premium or discount at the issue date is usually relatively small for coupon bonds. If the coupon rate is less than the bond's yield, the proceeds received will be less than the face value. The difference is known as a discount. The coupon rate is lower than the coupon rate that would make the market price of the bond equal to its par value. Investors will pay less than face value because of the lower coupon rate. Such bonds are known as discount bonds. If the coupon rate is greater than the bond's yield, the bond price and the proceeds received will be greater than face value. We refer to such bonds as premium bonds. In this case, investors will pay more for the above-market coupon payments. When a company issues a bond, assets and liabilities both initially increase by the bond proceeds. At any point in time, the book value of the bond liability will equal the present value of the remaining future cash flows discounted at the bond's yield at issuance. A premium bond is reported on the balance sheet at more than its face value. As the premium is amortized, the book value of the bond liability will decrease until it reaches the face value of the bond at maturity. A discount bond is reported on the balance sheet at less than its face value. As the discount is amortized, the book value of the bond liability will increase until it reaches face value at maturity. The next LOS requires us to describe the effective interest method and calculate interest expense, amortization of bond discounts or premiums, and interest payments. For a bond issued at a premium or discount, interest expense and coupon interest payments are not equal. Interest expense includes amortization of any discount or premium. Using the effective interest rate method, interest expense is equal to the book value of the bond liability at the beginning of the period, multiplied by the bond's yield at issuance. For a premium bond, interest expense is less than the coupon payment. The difference between interest expense and the coupon payment is the amortization of the premium. The premium amortization is subtracted each period from the bond liability on the balance sheet. Thus, interest expense will decrease over time as the bond liability decreases. For a discount bond, interest expense is greater than the coupon payment. The difference between interest expense and the coupon payment is the amortization of the discount. The amortization of the discount each period is added to the bond liability on the balance sheet. Therefore, interest expense will increase over time as the bond liability increases. Zero coupon bonds make no periodic interest payments. A zero coupon bond, also known as a pure discount bond, is issued at a discount from its par value, and its annual interest expense is implied but not explicitly paid. The actual interest payment is included in the face value that is paid at maturity. The effects of zero coupon bonds on the financial statements are qualitatively the same as any discount bond, but the impact is larger because the discount is larger. The effective interest rate method of amortizing a discount or premium is required under IFRS. Under U.S. GAAP, the effective interest rate method is preferred, but the straight line method is allowed if the results are not materially different. The straight line method is similar to straight line depreciation in that the total discount or premium at issuance is amortized by equal amounts each period over the life of the bond. While coupon interest is paid in cash, amortization is a non-cash item. When presenting the cash flow statement using the indirect method, net income must be adjusted to remove the effects of any amortization of a discount or premium in order to calculate cash flow from operations. Firms that follow U.S. GAAP must report cash interest paid in the cash flow statement as an operating cash flow. Firms that follow IFRS can report cash interest paid as either an operating or financing cash flow. Therefore, it may be necessary to reclassify interest paid when comparing firms that follow different standards. Issuing a bond involves legal and accounting fees, printing costs, sales commissions, and other fees. Under U.S. GAAP, issuance costs are capitalized as an asset and allocated to the income statement as an expense over the term of the bond. Under IFRS, the initial bond liability on the balance sheet is reduced by the amount of issuance costs, increasing the bond's effective interest rate. In effect, issuance costs are treated as unamortized discount. Consider a $1 million face value bond issued for $980,000 with issuance costs of $5,000. Under U.S. GAAP, the firm would increase assets by $980,000, consisting of $975,000 in cash and a $5,000 deferred charge, and increase liabilities by $980,000. Under IFRS, the bond's issuance costs reduce the bond liability reported on the balance sheet. Thus, the firm will increase assets and liabilities by $975,000. Under both U.S. GAAP and IFRS, bond issuance costs are usually netted against the bond proceeds and reported on the cash flow statement as a financing cash flow. Recall that the book value of a bond liability is based on its market yield at issuance. So, as long as the bond's yield does not change, the bond liability represents fair market value. However, if the yield changes, the balance sheet liability is no longer equal to fair value. An increase in the bond's yield will result in a decrease in the fair value of the bond liability. Conversely, a decrease in the bond's yield increases its fair value. Changes in yield result in a divergence between the book value of the bond liability and the fair value of the bond. The fair value of the bond is the economic liability at a point in time. IFRS and U.S. GAAP give firms the irrevocable option to report debt at fair value. Under this option, gains and losses that result from changes in bonds' market yields are reported in the income statement. For analysis, the market value of a firm's debt may be more appropriate than its book value. For example, a firm that issued a bond when interest rates were low is relatively better off when interest rates increase. This is because the firm could repurchase the bond at its now lower market value. Decreasing the bond liability on the balance sheet to market value increases equity and decreases the debt-to-assets and debt-to-equity ratios. If interest rates have decreased since issuance, adjusting debt to its market value will have the opposite effects.